Well, if you didn't pick it up from our Bible readings this morning, we're going to be spending the next 20 minutes or so thinking about suffering. And more in particular, we're going to look at suffering as a Christian. Now, most people would say that suffering as a Christian is a good thing because that means people can spot you as someone who follows Jesus. But Peter, in our verse, in our passage today, says it's more than that, which is a good thing because I feel if you say that suffering is a good thing because it means people know you're a Christian, it's kind of like getting bullied at school because people know you're a geek. It's kind of depressing. And it doesn't really want me to follow, make me want to follow Jesus. So what is suffering? Why do we suffer even though Jesus has won the battle? And why should we persist in our suffering? All good questions, all questions that the Christians in Asia Minor asked, and all questions Peter answered while instructing his fellow believers in living for Christ in this world. Now, last week, as we were going through the passage for this week, I spoke to our great musicians playing this week, and Neil told me that to get us in the mind frame, he's going to play poorly. So thank you for that. No. The music was fantastic. It was quite joyful, but and not at all painful. But that's what suffering is. Suffering, it's going through pain. And we each find different things painful. But two things that I was thinking of that we all went through, we all suffered through at some point in our lives, being sports and school. Now, I love sports, but I struggle with the continuous laps and the endless sprints that need to be done after the off-season just to get my fitness back. And some people may love school, but how much did you suffer? Remember all of those pop quizzes? All of the homework? All of those late nights studying for exams? And why do we go through that? Well, if we want a chance of winning the grand final, painful training is a must. And if we want good grades, then suffering those late nights and pop quizzes are necessary. We go through the suffering and the pain to make us better at whatever it is we're trying to achieve. Now, there are obvious shortcuts, like cheating in a test or taking performance-enhancing drugs, but they do more harm than good. I don't know if you heard about the Russian athletics team. They're kicked out of the Olympic Games for cheating. They can't prove that their team don't take steroids. So we're no smarter, we're no more equipped for what we're going to do. Going through the pain and the suffering of study and training is the only way of getting rid of all those bad habits and improving on all the good things. And in the end, it pays off. If you put in the work, if you suffer through the training, if you suffer through the study, then when the big day comes, when the final exam is here, your skills will be so refined that it'll be a walk in the park. And although that suffering got you ready for this moment, all that suffering was worth going through. And you knew it would be. That's why you persisted and you didn't quit. So this is a situation where I'm happy to say that the end does justify the means. But is this what suffering as a Christian is like? Something to think about as we look through our passage from Peter. Now, Peter starts his passage off in verse 12. Have a look there with me. Dear friends. Now, that doesn't feel like a great start. It's kind of like a boss calling you into his office for a little chat. But he goes on and he continues to say suffering should not be a surprise. And why should it be, really? Christianity was born off the back of Jesus suffering on the cross. Jesus tells us in Mark 8, flick there with me, Mark 8, verse 34. Jesus is talking to a crowd and he says to them, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. You see, suffering is part of God's plan, and Peter explains that God uses suffering. You see that there in verse 12, to test you. What is a test? Why is it testing us? Is it to see how we're going? Well, there is a part of that. Seeing if we really have given our lives over to God, or if at the first sign of trouble, we'll get out of there. Tests also show where we're struggling, what area of our faith we need to work on. And tests are a chance for us to work on that part of our faith. Think about it. A maths test. Algebra. Everybody loves algebra. But even if you haven't studied for it, test day comes, you're forced into doing algebra. And in some small way, you will get better at it. Your skills will get refined. See, suffering refines our faith. Each time we suffer for Christ, our faith in him gets stronger and purer. Just as fire refines gold, suffering refines faith. And so how should we respond to suffering? Peter tells us there in verse 13. He says, rejoice. Now, back in my teenage years, I remember my mother telling me that real men walk away from a fight. When she told me that, I looked at her and told her that nothing in that statement made sense. Because real men, they fight for their homes. They fight for their families, for their honour. They fight for love and respect. Real men fight. Now, many years later and slightly wiser, I understand the truth behind that statement. And like I didn't understand that statement at first, rejoicing in suffering doesn't make much sense. Oh, you're being nasty to me. Isn't this a great day? Please, can I have some more? Shouldn't we be defending our faith? Shouldn't we be standing up for God? Well, Peter says otherwise. And here's why. Peter tells us that we suffer because we share in God's suffering. But that's not the only thing that we share in. We share in his glory. His triumphant victory over death, we share in that. His eternal life in paradise, we share in that. Now, if I need to suffer a little bit of pain and suffering in order to share in Christ's glory, I'll do that. Just as I'll suffer the pain of the endless laps in order to receive the glory of a win on Saturday. See, suffering refines our faith and prepares us to receive the glory that we share with Christ. But it gets better than that. Jesus didn't leave us to suffer alone. Have a look at verse 14. If you suffer, you are blessed. Now, it's a good thing to be blessed. Even more so if you understand what you're being blessed with. It says there, with the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit, the glory to come, we share in that right now. And God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's helping us through our suffering. See, suffering in Christ's name is part of God's plan to refine our faith. And we should rejoice in the fact, not because we share in Christ's suffering, but because we share in his glory. And we are truly blessed because of that. Suffering now, although hard and painful, it kind of sounds like a good thing. So why don't we all go suffer? But Peter, in verse 15, clarifies a few things for us. He says, we should not suffer as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even a meddler. Now, in the time that Peter writes this letter, the first three were punishable by death. A punishment that Christians did, and in some places still do, receive. Peter himself died for Christ's sake. But Peter points out that suffering, even to death, is not right unless we do it as a Christian. Now, the fourth thing, meddling, that's what annoying people do. No one likes a meddler. No one has respect for a meddler. People speak badly of them, and they won't help them out. And some people may even go out of their way to hurt those who meddle. Now, as Christians, we are to walk beside people. We are to walk with them through whatever they are going through, sharing their pain, suffering, in their joy and their happiness. But there is a fine line between loving and being a meddler. And while we need to walk on the side of loving, no matter what side we walk on, we need to endure suffering. Peter, in verse 16, says, if we suffer for the right reasons, if we suffer for being a Christian, we shouldn't be ashamed of it. I think about a boxer. The months leading up to the big fight, they have to be strict on everything. Everything they do, everything they eat. And people look at them all the time, say, why are you putting yourself through this just to get punched in the face? Fans of the opposing boxer will throw threats at them and insults, and others will tempt them into breaking their strict regime. Come on, man, it's one beer. It's a packet of chips. What's an extra K tomorrow? See, and if that boxer was ashamed of all the work he was putting in, if he was ashamed of carrying the name of his sport, he would quit. But if he loves what he's doing, if he's proud of being a boxer, he would gladly bear the name and all the criticism that comes with it. And that is what Peter is saying. Let the suffering, the insults, the torments remind you of who you are. Don't be ashamed of your faith getting stronger. And don't be ashamed in the fact that you're sharing in Christ's glory. Peter says, instead of being ashamed, glorify God for being able to bear the name of Christ. Honor God. Thank God. Praise God. Because even though it may at times be tough, and it will be, you are a part of the elite. You're part of the winning team. You don't expect to get into university if you're not willing to do the late night studying or the excessive assessments. And you don't get selected into the top team if you're not willing to train harder than you thought possible for X numbers of days. But we're happy to go through all them, all through all that suffering and pain to bear the name of that university or that sporting team because we know how great they are. And not only do we go through the suffering, but we thank them for putting us through it because we know how much better it's made us. That through them we have received the prize that we aimed for. And if we're willing to do that for an earthly thing, how much more should we be willing to do that for God? God is the ultimate team, the ultimate institution, with the ultimate prize at the end, eternal life in paradise. Again, suffering is hard and it is painful, and we need to reach out to each other and help each other. But through it, know that it is for our benefit. And glorify God through it. He's making you the best Christian you possibly can be, preparing you for your entry to heaven. He's preparing us for the day of judgment, a day that is closer than you think. Peter says in verse 17, time for judgment to begin. It has begun. Yeah, now that you know it's game day, I bet you're glad you went through all that suffering to get you ready. You see, every person will stand before God to be judged. And think about how hard those exams were, how hard those big games are. And they're nothing compared to standing in front of God. It makes me nervous just thinking about it. And I know I have a guaranteed pass. And we know as Christians that we have a guaranteed pass because God himself came down to earth. He died on a cross and he suffered through hell for 3 days. And Peter, in verse 18, he says, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? Peter here, he's quoting Proverbs 11 that Beck read out for us. And the whole thing compared what the righteous did and what the unrighteous did. Flick over back to Proverbs 11. I want to have a look at that last verse. Verse 31. If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinners? Another way to put that, if you're into gardening, you reap what you sow. Now, I enjoy gardening. It gets me outside, away from whatever boring TV show my wife's watching. But I am horrible at it, which she loves to point out. I overwater. I plant too many things in the one spot where I never water. I pull out plants that I think are weeds. See, just by looking at it, you can tell how much effort I don't put on in. It's either dead or it's all weeds. See, I reap what I sow. And in the same way, you can tell if someone puts the time and effort into their garden, they reap what they sow. And you can see that by looking at it. And when people stand in front of God, attempting to plead their case for getting to heaven, that is when they will reap what they sowed in earth. See, if you sow belief in Christ, if you sow suffering with Christ, you will reap eternal life in heaven. But if you are sowing trust in anything but Jesus, if you choose the easy life with the world instead of suffering with Christ, you will reap eternal damnation. As Christians suffer with Christ in this world throughout our lives, verse 17 and 18 are to be an encouragement. An encouragement to persist on with the end in mind. If we do, we will reap the reward in heaven. And all the suffering will seem like nothing. Verse 19 there, it's a great summary to Peter's section. As people living as Christians in this fallen world, Peter says in verse 19, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. God truly is faithful. He does what He says and He keeps His promises. So if He says that our suffering is a part of His plan to enrich and strengthen our faith, that our suffering with Jesus means having glory with Jesus, that our suffering brings Him glory, and that our suffering prepares us for heaven, how much more should we commit ourselves to loving our eternal Father than we are to training for sports or studying for exams? And we should continue to repay evil with good and not evil with evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us as we go through our times of struggle, whatever they may be. Be with us. Help us to remember what You have gone through for us. Help us to continue on in our faith, to glorify You through our suffering, to show the world the kind of God that You are, loving and caring. Help us to continue to do good, even though people do evil to us. Amen.